Hello and welcome to Emerald Expressions, the podcast where we use words to sharpen the human mind. I'm your host, Jaira, the Emerald Amir, and today I'm joined by... Oh, Meg, you can introduce yourself.
Hi everyone, I'm Megabyte Megan. I'm a variety streamer who loves to play FPS and platformer games. I grew up playing Crash Bandicoot and Spyro the Dragon. As I got older, I started playing Ratchet and Clank, Jak and Daxter, Sly Cooper. And when I went to college, I was introduced to this college orchard where we all got together playing video games. But unfortunately, that organization did not last. We all went our separate ways. But I continued to, I started the path to streaming, and I really enjoyed it as a hobby. I had no idea it was going to turn into like a passion slash career. But I remember the very first game I played was Fortnite on stream. At the time, I was streaming both on Twitch and YouTube. But yeah, I went from playing a lot of FPS games, and then I did, you know, the platformers. And yeah, 5 years later, I'm still doing it.
That for you, love that for you. You love to see someone who's able to pursue their passions. So, I met Meg when we were at both recently at DreamCon. I don't remember exactly how we met. I think, were we in line for something?
I was going to say, this is how we met, I believe. I believe we've kept running into each other so many times at DreamCon, but, like, we never hung out at DreamCon. But it's like, hey, we kept running into each other. This might be a sign that we need to meet. So we just exchanged social medias. And, yeah, we've been talking after DreamCon.
Yeah, I think I saw you in, like, cosplay, and I was like, oh, I like your cosplay, blah, 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 which I tend to do. I like to compliment people, especially if they did a good job. Just because I like to people to be happy and that kind of stuff, and I like to appreciate efforts. And then, like you said, we kept meeting back and forth, and then eventually I was like, you want to exchange socials? Because, you know, it's always good to have new friends.
Yeah.
So, today, we're going to be covering DreamCon, which happened a few weeks ago at this point of recording. So we're just going to be talking about our general feelings, what we thought of it, and that sort of thing. So, by the way, did you want to plug any, like a Twitch or your YouTube channel or your, socials before we start?
Yeah, the only social I really want to plug is my YouTube channel. I've been working on growing that for a while, since like last September. That's when I started taking my YouTube more seriously. I'm almost at 1,000 followers on YouTube. That's a big goal I've been having for a while. So you guys can follow me on my YouTube, which is Megabyte Megan. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, help her on her journey towards that monetization. 1,000 subscribers. Closer and closer. Love to see it. So then, moving on to the first question. What are your thoughts on the ticket buying experience?
Okay. The website. The website is the biggest issue. The website kept crashing. And I feel like they've been having... I mean, they did the same website last year. But I think it was like a lot worse this year for the website. And I really feel like they should get a different website for the ticket buying. I think that's a lot where the issue had came from to begin with, where we all put our credit card information, we'll try to buy a ticket, and it does not go through.
That happened to me too. I was so mad. Like, I went through all the... Luckily, let's talk about the queues. The queues are insane.
Oh my god, yes.
I was lucky. I was only 800 in the queue, which, to say I was lucky at 800 is insane, but I was 800. I was seeing, like, crazy numbers, like, people behind, like, 12,000 people. Like, I had friends behind, like, 2,000, 4,000 people. It was insane. Them queues were insane.
Yeah, and how long it takes. And sometimes, once you're out the queue, you still have to wait a little bit before you can actually go and buy the ticket. Yeah, it's insane.
Like you get to your spot, and then you put in all your information. You get to the last And get what happens? You hit pay, and the screen doesn't move. And you're like, what? So you refresh, hit pay. I did that like, excuse me, 4 or 5 times. And then, luckily, I was able to, I had a friend that was also in the queue, and like, they also got in, and then they were able to buy me my ticket. But if I hadn't had that friend going for me, I would have been asked out, which would have sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they definitely need to be, I don't know what they need to do, whether, like you said, move on from the company entirely, or GrowTix, the company that was doing the tickets, needs to, like, invest in more servers, because I think we were discussing this a little bit before recording. I don't think that the DreamCon organizers, like REC and them, really realized how many people wanted to come. Because it had gone from like 6,000 people the year before, and they went to a bigger venue. I think they probably thought it was going to go up maybe a couple thousand, from like the 6,000 to maybe like, I don't know, 10,000, 15,000. And then it went up to like 20,000, 22,000, and then like at the peak point, I think they said they had like something like 28,000 people, including like all the weekend pass people and day pass people. Yeah, it was like damn near 30,000 people in there, which explains why that shit was packed electric.
Definitely, that con was packed. Like, for it to be at the Austin Convention Center, it was still like, oh my god, like all this space, but it was like all these people are here too.
Yeah, I think they didn't realize that the demand was going to be so great. Like, they clearly knew that there was pretty high demand with the last year, and they only had 6,000 people. So they're like, oh, let's move to a new venue. They can accommodate a lot more people. But even with that, I don't think they realized just the scale of how many people were trying to come. So that definitely...
Yeah.
We're going to circle back to that at some point. But, you have any other things you want to talk about with the ticket buying?
People were saying, like, no, if they're not able to go, it should be an easier way to transfer the ticket. But the thing is with that is, like, people, they'll buy the ticket and try to, like, price gouge it. So I see why they be trying to say, hey, the ticket's non-transferable. Because, you know, scalpers, you know.
I can understand the not transferable between people. But you should be able to say, hey, I can't come this year, and, like, within a reasonable amount of time, say, hey, I can't come this year. Can I reserve a spot for next year? I think that's somewhat reasonable.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, because it's like you bought the ticket for the DreamCon. Have to wait to get next year.
You already gave the money. So, like, whatever reason, like, you should be, I feel like that would help a lot. Being able to say, hey, I can't come this year, but hold a spot. Can you hold a spot for me this year? Like, within a reasonable amount of time, like, say, 2 weeks out, you know you can't come, something like, whatever deadline would make sense.
Yeah, 2 weeks is, I think, good enough.
Whatever your deadline they can come up with, but, like, at that point, if you put in your little request, then they reserve a spot for you next year, because you already paid, rather than just you wasting your money. I think that would help. So moving on to the next question. Do you think that the cost of tickets and related travel costs are prohibitively expensive?
Yeah. Especially the weekend ticket, like, not the weekend plus, but, like, the regular weekend ticket is fine. But it's, like, when it gets more towards, like, the platinum tickets, like, those are more, like, a little bit high. But I understand, you know, they got to get their money somehow. And the traveling costs, too.
Yeah.
I mean, the traveling cost, of course, depends on where you live at, like, what state you are, but it is expensive. Like, I live in Texas, and I think I spend about $1,000 for DreamCon.
I was lucky. I got an Airbnb for about $500, and then my plane ticket was only about $340, and probably like...
Okay.
But that's because I got them early, so I think probably with food and everything, I probably spent like maybe like $1,000, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, I had spent.
Sorry, you go ahead.
I was gonna say I had spent for like my hotel, and I bought like 4 tickets for my friends to come. So like, yeah, my pockets were empty by the time DreamCon was over with.
Many, and then the fact that DreamCon, the next day after DreamCon was rent day, I'm sure there's a lot of pockets empty immediately after DreamCon. A lot of people probably still recouping, making their bands, because money was spent. I think, just from my experience with a few other cons, like the tickets itself are on the higher end, but I don't think it's like it. I think they probably could be cheaper personally, but for what I got in terms of like being able to meet people and being able to walk around and have that experience, I think it was fun for me, but I can see it being prohibitively expensive.
Like, yeah, it is expensive. And then with the Weekend Plus tickets, they didn't even make it to where, because like their website again was crashing so many times, people weren't even able to upgrade their ticket.
Yep, I didn't even try. After that first queue, I said, fuck that, bro. Exactly. Going back to like the ticket buying experience, like that was hell.
Yeah. For next year, or whenever they do first drop the tickets, I was going to try to see if I can get, I think, a gold ticket to where I can at least skip the line. I mean, that's the only thing I feel like is good about the going tickets, that you can skip the line, but it's like, ooh, that's maybe because expensive. I don't know
if I want to do all that. I'm not sure if I want to drop 150. But, I don't know. Because the way I look at it, I want to go into, like, panels and stuff, but, like, I'm also mostly for just, like, the experience, walking around and seeing some stuff, meeting people, that either in, like, lines and stuff, or, like, people you know, mutuals.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if the 150 makes sense for me for what I'm trying to do. Like, if I was going there to see specific, like, creators or specific panels, maybe that would make more sense for me. But I would like to see those things, but I'm not, like, that's not the main reason I'm going, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I just hate waiting in line in general, like, I was trying to, like, meet up with some people, and I saw them lines were long. I'm like, I'll see you later.
Oh, them lines were insane. Even in, like, the exhibit hall, like, the food lines were insane. Like, I remember one day, like, the first Friday, I was, like, hungry, and I went to, like, oh, let's go grab some food in the con. And then I saw them lines looping around. I was like, bro, no.
But the pizza for $10, though, Jesus.
Yeah, con food is, they always get in for that shit. But you kind of have to go in with the expectation they gonna run your pockets. Yeah, they gonna run your pockets. It's like event food. Like, if you go to a concert, them drinks is way higher than you would get at like a regular bar.
Yeah.
Or, it, I don't know, they just be running your pockets when you go to events. That's the unfortunate part of America. They run your pockets. But yeah, it was pretty expensive, but I don't think it was, I think me, for me personally, I can only speak for myself, it was expensive, but it was within range of, like, I was still having my fun for that money. If that makes sense. Not like, oh my god, I'm paying all this money and this shit's ass. But there were definitely drawbacks, but we can go back to that later. But like, my overall experience, I would say I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, me too.
So
definitely was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Do you feel like there is enough engaging activities outside of the con itself? Like, did you feel like Austin, the city, was a city worth visiting?
Yeah, they had like a lot of like eateries you can go to outside the con, which I enjoy. They had a selfie museum. They had an escape room.
I was gonna say there was an escape room like literally right next to the convention center, wasn't there?
Uh huh. Is, yeah, it's like a 2-minute walk from the convention.
The one good thing about the location is, since it was right next to downtown, you could walk to, like, very easily to a lot of food. You walk very easily to, like, 6th Street was, like, a 5-minute walk, 5-10-minute walk from Convention Center. For anyone that doesn't know, 6th Street is, like, sort of, like, the touristy area where, like, a lot of clubs and restaurants and stuff.
I had walked over there. They had, like, a lot. So they had like, quite a few bars. I had actually ate out at Taco Place at 6th Street.
It was good?
Oh, yeah. I loved it. I think it was, like, a chicken taco, I believe. Yeah, it was a chicken taco. It was really delicious.
Yeah, there was a lot of good food. Austin is expensive, though. That's the one called. Fire want to put there. So yeah, you're trying to go to Dream Con, make sure you get your bread up first.
In fact, real. Because I was trying to go like eat outside the con to escape the expenses prices. I'm like, I feel like I did the walking for nothing because even at the other location I went in at Austin, the food was expensive. I'm like, ugh, Jesus. Can't catch a break when it came to the money.
So, like the food, it was expensive, but it was like a quality expensive, like outside the places I went to, at least. I went to a couple of places, but like it was expensive, but it was like good quality expensive, like the kind of expensive where you're like, I'm in another city, I'm trying something new, and this tastes good. Like, I'm not mad.
Yeah, like getting your money's worth, basically, not like you paying $10 for a regular cheese pizza.
Yeah. Yeah, I did do that once, and I was like, "Fuck it, bro." I didn't feel like walking that day, at that time. But I went to like this place that was close to. There's a few places I went, but I went. I remember I went to this one barbecue spot called Stubbs because my boy who I was staying with someone recommended it to him. I think his older brother, and he kept talking about it. I was like, "Oh, fuck it, let me see where this is." And I was like, "Oh, it's only like 10 minutes away from the convention center. Let me go see what this is here for." And like, for what I got, I spent about $24, and I got a big ass glass of lemonade, a brisket sandwich that was like really good. Like the brisket, they didn't skimp you on the brisket. The brisket was well cooked and well seasoned. And then I got some mashed potatoes, and I got some mac and cheese. And so, like, for what I got, I felt like, you know what, this 25 ain't bad for it. Like, I felt like, I didn't feel like cheated. I felt satisfied. There's a couple places. Like, Torchy Tacos, that was good. I went there with some friends. So, like, you just have to do a little research. Because I had put together a list beforehand from, like TikToks and people I was in a group chat with had like recommended stuff, and like funnily enough from the Danny Brown podcast, because he had recently moved to Austin. I think he moved last year, and like he would like mention like food spots, and I'd be like, write that down, this is in Austin, let me go check that out, let's see what that's good for. So like I just put my little list together, and I didn't get to hit all the spots. I wish I could have hit more, but I'm going to keep that list in case I go to Austin again for DreamCon or for anything else. But from the places I did go, I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, like, I think it was Torchy Tacos that I had went to, that chicken taco I was telling you about. That's the place I went to. But the DreamCon was so busy. It was, like, it was so much going on to where it was impossible for you to go to every, like, panel and every event that you want to, because they're all being hosted at the same time. That's why I guess that's the reason why I was like all over the place. Like I was popping from one building to another trying to catch all these events going on. Like even with the Spireverse was like my favorite event at the con, and I arrived there 30 minutes late. But it was just so much going on at the con. I wish that's the thing I wanted to rant about. DreamCon needs to be at least 5 days long. I feel like 3 days is way too short, especially since a lot of people come to DreamCon the first day.
And especially since they start later. They start at like noon, And then they, and earlier, they ended at like 5 p.m. So it's like, it's really like one full day, and then maybe about three quarters of another day.
Yeah, because like, you have the whole, well, not the whole Saturday, but you know, like you have that Saturday.
Like 2.5 days, something like that, is what you're really getting. I would like to see it be like 4 to 5, something like mm-hmm. AWA.
Yeah, 4 or 5 days would be pretty good. For you feel like, hey, I'm really.
Oh,
go on.
Oh, sorry, you go first. You go first.
I was gonna say, cause like, it's already bad enough that the prices for the tickets are expensive, but like, you feel like you're being robbed a little bit from your experience because it's only like 2 days long of a con, really. Because like, even when on Sunday, you're packing pretty much on Sunday, nothing really open. So it just feels like a day and a half con, to be honest. Unless you have like a platinum ticket.
Yeah, there's a lot of like interesting stuff, and I would say it would probably be do well if they could space out some of that stuff, because there's a lot of stuff that I would like to go on, but like you said, it was at the same time, I understand like it's good as event promoter to have like a lot of stuff going on simultaneously, so because there's thousands and thousands of people, you can't fit them all in one room, so it makes sense to have a bunch of stuff going on at the same time, but yeah. It would be nice to have it spread out a little bit, and also just more time to like just feeling the ambiance. Like it was nice. I spent my time walking around seeing some stuff, but it would have been cool to catch a couple more panels.
Yeah, or what they could do is like some of the panels or events, they can have those like multiple times that weekend, because like maybe they did that with some of them, but like not all of them.
That's true. I mean, if you got the people already, does it hurt having two sessions of like, especially the ones with the people who are, very well sought after, like the higher tier. I don't want to say higher tier people, because that implies quality, but like the ones who are very well known. Because like, yeah, there could be some people who are on the come up that are very talented. So I don't want to say higher tier, but more well known.
Yeah.
Speaking of, do you see that girl's video?
I have a word to say about that video. Because
that's crazy. I didn't even have to say which one. You knew exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep, when she was trying to cancel DreamCon because she did not meet her favorite YouTubers. For one, I can't speak on the video 100% because I didn't even watch the whole thing because I was just already irritated. But it's like, if you're buying a con ticket just to meet your favorite YouTubers, you're already going to the con for the wrong reason. Like, you mean, I'm going to be real with you, like, you mean your favorite YouTuber at a con as big as DreamCon? Because we had 22K people there a couple weekends ago. That was a slim to none chance. Like, let's be honest.
I was lucky. I managed to meet a lot of people, but, like, I was lucky. You're not, it's a 1 in 22,000 chance that you're gonna be walking around at the same time, and like she paid. I think she had the thing. To be fair to her, I'm not just gonna completely poop on her. She did have some valid points. Like there's a lot of stuff that could needs work and could be fixed. But to say like cancel it, or she said I'm here to de-influence you from going. I don't know. I feel like. Like you said earlier, DreamCon went from 6,000 people. I've said this on the last recording, I'll say it again. The first year, it had 800 people. Next year, 1,000. Next year, 1,500. Then COVID, and then they had 6,000 people. And then this year, they had 22,000 people. Do you realize how insane of a jump that is in like a five? I think their first one was like 2018. So in like a five or so year jump period, they jumped from 800 people to 22,000, and like I realized they probably didn't think it wasn't gonna be that much, but like that's a big jump. So there's probably gonna be a lot of stuff that's needs to be worked out, and like I think we just said it a little bit earlier before we started recording. One of the main organizer, John, he said that they might have to gatekeep. We're going to have to stay tuned to see what that means. Hopefully it's just like... No, you go first.
I think what he means by gatekeep is like sell less tickets.
It could be that. I think it's more like a matter of a... Well, I won't say more. I think it's also a matter of them making sure that it's the right kind of people. Because mofos are hopping lines, not paying attention. Like, I feel bad for the... Let's give a clap for the staff, because they were very overworked. It was, I could say, there was probably maybe 150 of them for 22,000 people. And you could tell by midway through Saturday, they stopped caring.
Like, they were exhausted. You can tell.
Like, bro, you would have to, like, the first couple... The first day, you would go through the thing. They would, if you beep, they would check you. Bro, on Saturday, you would beep. They would just be like, bro, just go. Just move. Just get out of my face. Yeah, you don't look like you got a knife on you. Move.
Yeah, they feel bad, bro. They do need more staff next year.
Yeah, they definitely need more staff. Apparently, there was a whole bunch of like volunteers that like flaked last minute, so that definitely didn't help. But yeah. That's to say that the girl doesn't have valid points, but if you're, like you said, going to a convention with only having the only goal of, I gotta see these specific creators is dumb, because it's just unlikely. Like, unless the convention is five people, you're not gonna see them. Like you could see them. It's a possibility. But don't turn possibilities into definites. If you do, you're only disappointing yourself.
Yeah, like, I was able to see some of my favorite content creators I look up to and got a picture with them. But Corey, I did not see him at all. Like, I saw everybody else but him.
Bro, Corey was a shadow. But, like, a few of my friends saw him, but he kept popping up in random places.
I think he started popping up in random places that wasn't even the con.
Yeah, he was popping up in random places. I was lucky to see a couple people that I mess with, like, just, like, personally. And then a couple people, I like their content. Like, I was lucky enough to see John, got a picture with him real quick, but because he didn't want a crowd to form. And then I saw JoJo, crowd formed. I didn't even get to talk to him. I was like, I could have stayed in that crowd, but I was like, I'm going to leave this man alone. He also wanted to enjoy himself. I saw a couple people, Lean and Kazine, like, I saw a lot of people. I was lucky in that sense that I kept just running into people in random places. Mm-hmm. I was about to leave. I was walking, I think, to leave, and I saw there's these 2K creators, Trey Sold and Click Productions. I just randomly saw them as I was walking to leave. I didn't get to talk to Click because he was on the phone. I didn't bother him, but took a picture with Trey. Cool dude. I was just walking around, and, like, I'm going to tell this story, because it's just so funny to me. Like, there's these creators, they call it H and SH Brotatoes. Funny guys, make skits, I enjoy their content. I saw, during the registration line, I saw one of them. I was like, oh, bro, it's you! And he's like, hey! It's nice enough to take a picture with me. And then I go downstairs, I meet my friends, and then they just happen to pop back out. He's like, oh, it's you! And then, like, they take pictures with me, and then I kept running into them, like, just kept running into them in random places. And, like, as soon as I looked over, they were recognizing me. They're like, damn, it's you again.
That's how it was with you. We kept running into each other.
You?
It's like back to back, me and you just kept running into each other. That's how I felt with
you and I. But, like, I saw, like, I had to have seen them by the end of DreamCon, like, 15, 20 times. Like, between, like, the members, like, I would sometimes see one member by himself. Other times, I would see all of them. Like, I kept running into them. I'd run into them at the exhibit hall. Ran into them on the top floor of the convention hall. I'd run into them outside. Like, it was insane how many times I saw these people. And, like, at the end, they recognized me. They're like, hey, what's up? Like, it was insane. But it was also a lot of fun. Like, but you can't rely on stuff like that. Like, I didn't go to DreamCon thinking, oh, I'm going to meet Tony Satatovici. I keep fucking up his name. I apologize. I happened to meet him, but I didn't go into it with the mindset, I'm going to meet these people. I went into it with the mindset, oh, I'm just walking around seeing some cool stuff. Cosplays. Mm-hmm. Say hello. Compliment your cosplay. Friends. See my friends. See some cool stuff. Like some people are seriously talented. Whether it be artists, cosplayers, musicians. Like at the final day, as I was getting ready to walk away and leave, a guy broke into like a sax solo. Dude was blowing. It was amazing. He had a great little solo. I watched it for a little minute and then I dipped. Like, you see a lot of cool stuff. I went in there for the experience of like seeing some stuff I can't see at home, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Cause you don't get to experience cons like this every day, you know?
Yeah. That's what you have to go in with into it for the mindset of. If like you wanted to meet your friends and do some stuff with them, like maybe meet some friends you've never met before, or see friends that you haven't seen in a while, that's a cool. You do that. Or just walk around, see some cool stuff, buy some cool merch. That's also a thing. But like going into it, expecting to see these creators who are busy people, some of them aren't there for like, maybe they're there for like networking and stuff, but they're there to have fun themselves because they're nerdy people that want to enjoy themselves. So like,
yeah,
you can't expect to see these people just because you're going. Yeah, that's crazy. So do you think that DreamCon can become sustainable long term, like events such as Comic-Con or PAX, Fan Expo, like these long running conventions?
Oh, most definitely, because DreamCon been here since 2018. Overall, it keep like doubling in size, and you know, they haven't got so big to where now you're talking about, you know, having to sell less tickets for next year. But I could definitely see it be long term. I hope it's long term, because honestly, DreamCon is the only convention I feel 100% safe going to as a black woman. That actually, DreamCon is the only convention I ever went to. So I really hope that they continue to doing a great job, you know, showcasing a lot of black creators, you know, having a space that's safe for us, because it's hard finding a con where black people can feel safe at, and having this type of con is incredible.
Yeah, because unfortunately, it sucks to talk about it, but there's a lot of like weirdness and racism in the nerd communities. Like a lot of people, especially like speaking of, like DreamCon posted a video like shortly after, like I think the next day or the day after it had ended, where they did like, it was like a Bleach compilation. I think they had like taken pictures at the like little Bleach meetup.
Oh yeah, that.
And they posted the video, and bro, just the comments, like people were saying like stuff like monkeys. They were like, where are all the white people? Oh, they look terrible. Like, you know, just racist nonsense. So it's good to have a space like DreamCon where you can feel safe. You don't have to worry about people being weird. Like, there's people of all races and creeds at DreamCon. Not to say that there aren't. DreamCon is open for everyone, but it's a safer space for black people because it was made for us, by us, with us in mind. It's created by black creators, so they try to foster that culture. And it's not just like I've had fun at other cons, but like I had fun at DreamCon because it was made with the mindset of like a little bit of the black psyche, the black nerd psyche. They
it felt like a black reunion.
Yeah, it very much gave fam, for a lot of parts, it gave fam big ass family reunion vibes, which is nice. Like, you just out chilling with your favorite homeboys and your cousins and stuff like that. Like, that was the sort of vibe I got a lot of the time. So, I feel like it's important to have these spaces where we don't have to conform to other people. We can just be ourselves completely and wholly. Like, yeah. What other con are you going to see a basketball tournament?
You right. Well, playing basketball and be good at it.
I didn't go to that because, bro, that line was insane. I wasn't trying to do that. But I didn't go to any of the big events because, like, bro, them lines.
Them lines were low. My Jesus Christ. And people were skipping.
The event would be at like 6 o'clock, and that line would be out there from like 2 o'clock. I'm like, bro, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, and that was the thing, so. And that was my thing. Like, I was not going to wait hours. We're not going to be doing something else, you know? There was too much stuff at the.
Imagine you wait all that time, and then it fills up right before you get in. I would be so mad.
Yeah.
Bro, I waited in this line 4 hours. What do you mean it's full?
You be yelling at it, like everybody be hearing you, but that's why I'm like, with those big events that they were having like that, I'm like, I'm not waiting in line 2 hours for an event and not be able to get in. And I'm like, bro, I could have been doing something else for the past 2 hours. Be hungry in the line and all. I'm like, I'm gonna do something else.
I think I hope it sustains itself. We're gonna see what they do for next year. I don't think they necessarily need to do less people. I think they just need to prepare more staff. Whether it be paid staff, I don't know, so they don't have a whole bunch of like people like flake last minute. They need more staff, and they they need better systems of making sure that things are run properly. Better ticket website, that kind of stuff. But I think it could last long term. So what would you consider to be a fun or fulfilling con experience?
So they had like other events that were like outside of the con, but it's like kind of associated with DreamCon. But I was really looking forward to a pool party. Like an actual pool party. Like, I was over here asking people, hey, you guys know where a pool party's gonna be at? They had Trap Sushi, but I thought they was gonna like host their own, like, DreamCon themselves gonna host like their actual like pool party. That would be something cool that they could do next year. Also, maybe like do like a skating ring meetup. I think that'd be pretty nice as well. That something they could do next year.
I would like to have like a concert, because when I went to AWA, they had like a concert, like little sections where they had concerts. They had like some dope DJs. They had I think it was Saint Lisa, the singer from Demon Slayer. I think it was her. Like that was fun. Like, I had a lot of fun at that little concert. I mean, to be fair, that's probably a lot of work and probably a lot of what's the word? Probably a lot that goes into that. So I don't blame them if they don't, but like, just saying, like, it would be cool to have something like that. Like, there are a lot of artists that they could, like Megan Thee Stallion could do it. There's a lot of artists that are like nerdy. Like, they had a lot of rappers there. They had like Kiko Black, they had Tia Kareem. I think they were there as like panelists, but it'd be dope if they could like do a little concert. Artists like Wale would probably want to do it because Wale is a big nerd. You would probably have a lot of fun. Like, there's Jid, I think, Jid would probably have a lot of fun there. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of artists they could reach out to. Lil Uzi Vert, probably. Okay, probably not Lil Uzi Vert. That's a lot of money.
Actually, but you know what I mean? Megan, Megan Thee Stallion, I heard they talked to her, but, well, not talked to her, they were, like, trying to reach out through her publicist. And they didn't get back with them or something like that, I heard. But, yeah. Hey, it's possible next year.
Hey, maybe next year. Especially because she's from Texas, too. She's from Houston, but, like, you know what I mean? Like there's, it would be cool. I'm not saying you have to do it. I understand that's probably hard. But if you could do it, that would be an awesome, like, addition they could add to it. Like, have a little place where, like, they have a couple of artists set up. Like a couple of DJs or something like that, and then like just have music, like maybe not constantly, but like have like a little section where this is where you have like the songs and the musicians, and like, if you want to go to that, like that I think would be cool.
Yeah.
But in general, like I think I've explained myself what like I enjoy. Like I like being able to walk around and just see cool things, meet people, like just see someone cool, like us, like see someone cool and strike up a conversation, and then now you have possibly a new friend. So like that's what I consider a fun con. See some nice stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know, you take pictures and videos, you have the memories forever.
Oh, by the way, always ask for permission if you're taking pictures. Especially if you're taking pictures of, like, female-presenting cosplayers. Just as a general courtesy thing. Like,
yeah.
Consent is key. But, like, just... And even in the fact of doing that, you might shark up a conversation, and then like you cool, now you met another cool person. Just you know, send his key. Don't want to make sure it's a safe space for everyone. At the end of the day, we're all there to have fun. No one should be having their rights or feelings or their boundaries imposed on. So just be cool.
Yeah. That's why I did. Take a picture, cosplayers. I go. Huh? I was gonna say that's why I did. Like when I saw some cool cosplayers, I wanted to take a picture with them. Like I asked for their permission. We took a few pictures together. There's one person they cosplayed as Jack and Daxter. You know how much of a fan I am of Daxter. Oh yeah, my goodness!
And he looked really happy that I recognized him. He's like, I was like, oh, it's Jack. And he's like, yeah. Oh, speaking of, I think you mentioned them earlier, but like the games you were mentioning earlier, like Sly, Jack, all those requests.
Oh yeah, somebody cosplay as Sly Cooper too, but I don't think I was able to get. Oh, yeah, I wasn't able to get a picture with them.
I saw the Sly too, bro. It was cool seeing a couple. I like when you see some cool cosplays that are a little bit not to say that the popular ones are bad or anything like. If you want to go as Tanjiro, or if you want to go as like Naruto, all these other like bigger ones, those are cool. Especially if you put like a lot of work into it. But it's also cool seeing like the sort of, I guess, either more niche or underappreciated things. Like, you know what's really cool? Seeing a cosplay that you know is like, oh, that's dope. I don't know what that is. Let me go strike up a conversation and find out what that's from.
Yep, so you can like, start watching
I don't know what this is. But they did a damn good job at doing whatever that is. I want to just... Let me go see what that is. Like, that's a really fun thing about cons. Because you get to learn some shit.
You found new anime.
Found new game. Found new cartoon or comic. Oh, I don't know what this is. This is interesting. Like, it's cool. Okay. So,
it's like you made new friends. Oh, I was going to say, You also make new friends from that said fandom. It's cool.
The fun thing about cons is, because we all packed into these little paces, you just strike up conversations with people you might never have talked to in like your regular life. Just like, oh, I'm standing in this line. Hey, what's up, bro? This line's long. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, you like this show? I like this show. Blah, blah. That's the cool part of cons. Just like, just being around, you strike up random conversations with people you might not necessarily talk to in other situations. Excuse me. So what are your favorite favorite things that you've either seen or done at the con?
These are favorite things for me to do?
Yeah, like what are your favorite things that you did? Or the favorite things you saw?
So, Spider-Verse, that was the number one on my list. My surprise cosplay I was talking to my audience about for months on TikTok, on Twitter, was Spider-Gwen, and the day I was actually able to, like, put her on the con, I was so excited, and I heard about the Spider-Verse meetup. That meetup was so lit, like, they had like, music playing, we're doing all types of dances, taking all types of Spider-Verse pictures.
there was just like so many, like Across the Spider-Verse came out like a few weeks before, so that definitely hyped it up. But like, yeah, I saw so many different and cool interpretations of Hobie, Spider-Punk. I saw so many. I think I saw Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman. You saw a lot of Pavs, Indian Spider-Man. Like, you saw a lot of cool things. There's a couple of Spider-Man 2099s. Like, it was cool seeing all the support, especially because, like, the movie was great.
Somebody even dressed up as a spot.
And as soon as I watched the movie, right after, I swear in the Bible, I said, there's going to be so many Hobie cosplays at DreamCon. I was like, yep, bro, I got out.
Hobie,
like,
was a cool character.
Bro, I got out. I went in the. I had a little group chat for DreamCon. I was like, bro, there's about to be a billion Hobies. Because he's just cool. Like, he gives that cool older brother that look like, I'm looking out for you, but I'm not going to spell it out for you. Like, I want you to be able to make your decisions, but I'm gonna try to either guide you, or if you make that decision, I'm gonna support you in that decision. So he was just a cool character.
Yeah, like the basically the older brother that Miles needed.
Yeah, and like Miles went into it like, man, fuck this nigga. This nigga talking to my girl, and the fact that you, as the movie went
he
on,
warned he warned her. He warned out, him.
You find out, like, if you go back and rewatch it, Hobie the whole time was trying to warn him, like, shit's not on the up and up, but
is that,
like,
what you want?
This ain't what you want, but you seem excited, so I'm not gonna rain on your parade, but this ain't what you want.
Yep. And how Hobie helped him get out, like, yo, Hobie a real one for
don't
that.
He said, don't trust them colonizers. And he was right, but yeah, probably for me it was just like randomly walking into like random, not my favorite thing was like me and my friends, but like my next favorite thing was probably just randomly walking into random influencers and just seeing like people I've been watching their stuff even for a few months, but like some of them I've been watching them for years, just seeing them in person, like, oh, this is nice. Hello. I didn't expect to see you here. Mind if I take a quick picture? But yeah, it was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, opposite direction. What are things that turned you off or irritated you about DreamCon?
Whew, them lines.
Bro,
and I feel like it's kind of stupid to say, because of course it was packed, but it's like, it was just something about them lines, and then you were waiting in line, and people would just cut. Jesus.
That was one thing that girl got right. People cutting in the lines that didn't pay to cut. Because at least if you pay to cut, whatever, you spent your bread for that, cool. But them lines. The first day, I fucked around and found out. I was in that line for 2 hours. Like to get in, so I went. It was like I went at like 9 o'clock somewhere around there to get my badge and stuff. And then like I was like, oh, it doesn't open until 12. Let me go grab some food. Went and got food. By the time I came back, it was around 11:41. And when I tell you, I walked and walked and walked and walked, and that line kept wrapping around the building. And then I eventually got in. You don't want to know what time I got in? 1:20 p.m. I was in that line for damn near 22 hours.
My goodness.
Yeah, they definitely need whatever they do next year, need to figure out a better system with them lines, because 2 hours is insane in mid-July Texas heat. Good thing I had my little neck fan. I had my little neck fan, so I wasn't baking too bad, but that's crazy.
That's probably why you're talking about, like, low-key selling tickets next year. I mean, like, selling less tickets next year, too, because that'll help with the lines, like, not being as long.
Yeah. Or they need to hire more staff so the line moves quicker. I don't know what.
Quicker.
Yeah. But, yeah. That definitely annoyed me. And then, like, the app was useless.
Let me tell you about the app. So, the first day of the app, actually, I was on my way driving to Austin, and the app dropped where, hey, you can sign up for these events for the Friday. Every time I was trying to sign up for the events, like those big events, it was crashing, it was long, wouldn't let me get in. I was so irritated. By the time I was able to get in, those big events were filled up. That app is trash.
They did not, clearly did not, the app wasn't built for that many people. I won't say the app itself was terrible. The app was not built for them people. It was built for 6,000. I don't know how it worked last year, but it was not built for 22,000 people. They need to get more servers or upgrade the app or do something, because that app was useless. And then, even when it was working, quote-unquote, it didn't, I put, reminders for, certain, panels and stuff, and, you wouldn't see the reminder unless you were in the app. Why is it not doing push notifications? This is useless. What if I'm walking around, and I forget about it, and then I go in, and I'm like, oh, shit, I missed a panel I wanted to go see.
Oh.
It needs to be able to...
Oh, you just remind me. That was another issue that I had with DreamCon. So... Saturday's after the official Saturday after party, right? I already bought the ticket for the official after party on Saturday, but thankfully I ran to my friend. He told me, hey, you need to register for the event, and I forgot what room it was. It was somewhere in the Hilton room, but it said you gotta go register or you won't be able to get inside even if you buy a ticket. So I was able to tell my friends, hey, we need to get the wristband for the ticket. Imagine spending $40 for after party. I'm not $40, $20 for after party, and you're not able to get in.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's dumb. Yeah, that's dumb.
You weren't able to get in because you didn't register, but you already bought the money for the ticket. That's so stupid.
And no refunds. Yeah, that's dumb. I don't think that system makes sense. They should have a sticker. Because it's run through the same people. They should have, a sticker. Oh, when you grab your registration, you're going to after, you pay for the after party, here's this sticker. Right on your badge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would make, you have the after party sticker, you can come in. How easy is that? am I crazy?
No.
That seems just so simple. Like have all that information with the registration. One time. Oh, you bought after party ticket? Put this certain sticker on your badge so we know. Or this little barcode and we can scan it on the badge. Oh, you have the after party?
Scanning on the badge, that makes stuff a lot more simple. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I have a friend that's a coder. He was saying something similar, have a barcode, so for the gold and platinum, instead of just motherfuckers going wild, you can't get in the event if you don't, boop, here's a gold and platinum thing, boop, scan, easy. Oh, you don't have gold and platinum, you don't have that barcode, you can't come in. Or you gotta wait until all these people with that barcode come in first, and then you can come in. Whatever rules you want to apply.
Yeah. I just hope that for next year they do stuff a lot different to where it's just not as chaotic and all over the place. Yeah. I gotta give it to them, though. Although it was, chaotic a couple weeks ago, they still did pretty well. Cause they had, so many people, like you said, drop out at the last moment. But they still did okay. They handled 22,000 people.
I hope this is definitely a big learning experience for them.
Yeah.
If I want to go, I hope I can get in next year, because I don't know about them tickets, but I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, because they're not event promoters. They're content creators that put on an event. A fun event, chaotic event, but that's not their main occupation. They're there to make content, and they just wanted to do an event so they can hang out with people like-minded. So I'm not if I went to one of these other cons that are run by a corporation and that shit's poorly organized, that's reflected because you guys got teams.
Right.
DreamCon, it's seven niggas.
Yep.
They might have some little bit of help, but it's at the end of the day, it's seven niggas. There's only but so much you could do while you're also still doing your day job. So, like, I hope they learn. Maybe they reach out to some people that might are a little bit more experienced with the event planning and have them do a lot of the legwork, whatever they need to do. But, like, I'm not going to crucify them because, like, at the end of the day, they're just doing this not out the good of their heart. Well, partially out the good of their heart. I'm not going to say they're not doing it for money because, from what I've heard, the money from this gets reinvested in the next year. But they're doing this just as a sort of hangout with their fans. So I'm not going to crucify them. Like, they're doing it with good intentions. And they seem to have taken a lot of these concerns into mind. I saw a little bit of an apology from Mark at the closing ceremonies, where they're putting their ears out. They're listening. They're not just like saying, "Ah, fuck y'all, we did great." Like they're taking in the criticism that's constructive, and they're trying to build from it. So I'm not gonna be like, "Nah, fuck them niggas." Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what were you looking forward to doing the most or seeing the most? Or was there anyone you were really looking forward to meeting, influencer or not?
I wanted to meet more of my mutuals. And I'm a little disappointed because, like, the con was so big, I was not able to even meet up with half of my mutuals compared to last year. Now, last year, I was able to meet up with my mutuals on Twitter. We hung out, have fun. This year, it was like, we saw each other, we said hi, we talked a little bit, we were just on the go. And then a lot of them, I didn't even meet. And then some of them, I didn't even know what's coming to DreamCon. And so they posted a picture reveal of them at DreamCon. I'm like, bro, we could have met up. I was a little sad.
But it seemed like half my timeline went to DreamCon, and like it would have been cool to see y'all niggas, but like it's 22,000 of y'all. Even if I wanted to meet y'all, like I was in a couple of group chats between the two group chats, it's like 100 people. There's some overlap, but like, where the fuck is a big enough spot you can fit 90 niggas in? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's only the crappy part. Like I wish I could have met more people. Like this goes along with, I hope they expand the timeline to give you more time to meet up with these people.
Yeah, come on, I can guarantee you they gave us like at least 5 days. I probably would have been able to meet a lot more people. It was just the past days were chaotic, and like I said, I still feel like it's still not a full 3-day con because they really don't open up the DreamCon till noon on Friday. A lot of people are coming in on Friday, and you have to hold, say, Saturday, and on Sunday, pretty much everything is closing up. So I really feel like 4 to 5 days of a con would be a lot better.
Like that registration day Thursday, I don't know why they don't just have that also be part of the con. Like, have it start Thursday, and then continue through Sunday, and then
Thursday through Sunday would be perfect.
Sunday or Monday. You have it start either Wednesday or Thursday, and then have it continue through Sunday. Because Sunday makes sense, because Sunday ends and people go back to work and whatever. That's fine. I don't have a problem with it ending on Sunday. But, like, start it a little bit early in the week. Because I know motherfuckers that was out there all week. Like, they came in on, like, Monday, Tuesday.
Or Wednesday. Like, I know a lot of people that came in on Wednesday and was just chilling until the con actually started.
But yeah, that definitely did suck not being able to see more of my friends. And even when I was trying to like meet up with people, I also wanted to do stuff. So like, I wanted to be able to do panels, but also meet with my friends. And like, there's only about so many hours in the day, so like, I feel like expanding it would definitely help a lot.
Yeah. One second. Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. But, yeah, I really feel like hopefully next year they'll listen to us. on the expanding the con part.
Uh-huh.
I was really hoping, like you were saying, like, Thursday to Sunday would be a lot better.
Bro, what is happening? Sorry, something's happening. Why is it...
Hey, what's going on?
I'm here, from my side. Like, it's reading off, like, like computer voice is reading off all my notifications. Sorry. I wasn't sure if you were hearing that.
Oh, no, I hear it.
Okay, I think I stopped it. I don't know why he was doing that. Probably because I have my mic in, so it's like, oh, you have headphones in. Oh, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I was saying, I was really hoping, like, they extend it from, not Monday, Thursday to Sunday. I think that would be perfect.
Yeah, I think Wednesday or Thursday would be great. Then you have more time to soak it in. And also, don't open it at noon, bro.
Yeah, like, I think 10 o'clock would be a perfect time. Like, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock.
I know it's a lot of... There probably is a lot of setup. But, like, bro, opening it at noon on the first day and then having to sit out in the heat was crazy.
Y'all know people were waiting in line for hours. I was one of the lucky ones. I ain't wait. I literally walked. Then it took me maybe at max 10 minutes to get my ticket.
Yeah, that was crazy. Okay. What was your funniest interaction or story from the con?
I think it was something about the Twitch cons. They had a Twitch meetup room. Man, the interactions we were having in there was funny. Like, we were shooting all types of, like, videos there. That was the funniest interaction, I would have to say. Like, we were being, like, silly funny. Like, it was having a blast.
Do you mean any, like, people you, like, follow or any, like, mutuals streaming?
I did. Actually, I met most of my mutuals at the Twitch meetup. I was so happy. That has to be my second favorite room besides the Spider-Verse room was the Twitch room. I'm like, oh my god, all my Twitch friends are here. My Twitch mutuals.
Cool, that's cool. So at least you got to do your meetup / meet your mutuals. So that's nice.
Yeah, although I didn't get a chance to meet all of my mutuals. I met quite a few at the Twitch meetup, so that was pretty cool.
That's cool, that's cool. Oh, I guess technically my funniest interaction. Like, I don't think I answered this last time, but my funniest interaction was I made the mistake. On the first day, I had Ian. Like I said, I went to eat in the morning, and then, like, they spent the day walking around, and around, like, 4 or 5 o'clock, I was like, I'm getting a little hungry. So I went to the exhibit hall to get something to eat, and I saw that line. I saw the lines curled around and curled around. I was like, fuck that shit, bro. So I walked over to, like... Oh, you remember where those, like, slushies were at the beginning?
It's right by that food area, right? The food hall?
Yeah, to the side.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I remember.
So I see those slushies, and there's only, like, 4 or 5 people in the line. I'm like, that's not too crazy. Let me get a little sugar, something to hold me over until I grab some food. So I get in line with my friend. We get up to the, I get up to the front, and he's like, ID? I was like, is this alcoholic? He's like, yeah. This is where I should have known, hey, back up, relax. But I was like, oh, yeah, sure, fuck it, I'll get alcoholic slushy. When I tell you that shit was liquor, bro, shit, I don't know what they put in that bitch, but it had me almost on my ass. Because I hadn't eaten since, like, I don't know, maybe like 10 o'clock in the morning, and it was like 5 o'clock. So I drank that on an empty stomach, and it was straight liquor. And I was like, bro, had me wobbly. I eventually, like, leave the con. I went to, like, this chicken spot that's a few minutes away, Gus's World Famous Chicken. Good food spot, by the way. But that shit was packed from the con / people just in Austin. So there was no seats. So to get to the interaction, I'm there. I'm a little lit. These ladies, I had a conversation with some dudes that were in there, like, waiting for their food. They had ordered out. Like, the guy walked up and he was like, hey, you want to take out or you want to wait? And, like, that shit was packed, so I was like, take out. So, like, those guys came in and then they got seated. And then the ladies came in and, like, they could very obviously tell I was fucked up. They're like, you good, bro? I'm like, yeah, I fucked up. I fucked up. I drank on an empty stomach. They're like, oh no. So, like, I'm chopping it up with these ladies from the con. Like, they're really nice. Like, we chopping it up. We had a couple of jokes. Once those guys moved and got seated, I was like, hey, ladies, go sit down. There's like a little weight bench. I was like, go sit down. Chopped it up with them. And then they got seated. And then another group came in. Shout out Kalanda and Hazel. Like, chopped it up with them. Like, there's a guy that had, like, the, you know, the panther teeth necklace from Killmonger.
Oh, yeah.
He had that on. I was like, oh, that's dope.
I think I saw him on the...
Yeah, I think his name was Kevin. He had, like, the little necklace on. I was like, oh, that's dope. Because I saw the necklace, I started chopping it up with them. And I saw Kalanda had this nice baseball jersey on. I was like, yo, where you get that from? And they were like, oh, I got on Temu. I was like, Temu? Really? Because, like, it didn't look cheap. I was like, huh. That looks Temu pretty good. Nice.
You got to try some Temu.
I've heard some things about Temu. I'm not trusting. They could be good, but I don't want to roll that dice. But, like, I saw the baseball jersey. I'm a fan of baseball jerseys myself. So I was like, oh, this is nice. This is nice. So I had that little interaction. Chopped it up with them, and then got my food before I broke out. I was like, hey, I'm going, like, as we were chopping it up, I mentioned, like, the Grown and Sexy party. This is Friday, so I went to that version. They're like, oh, you think they're gonna sell tickets? I was like, I'm not sure, but you can try. So met them. So that was a little bit of the interaction. I guess technically my funniest interaction, I sort of already told it, but it was me and those guys from HNSH, Bro Tatoes, like, 15 times, and just, like, the slow realization that, oh, I keep seeing this man. Like, I'm going to keep seeing this man that they had on their faces. Like, towards the end, it almost felt like we were friends because we kept seeing each other. But, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
You actually remind me of another funny thing that happened to me at DreamCon this a couple weeks ago. So this actually happened outside the con. I had met up with one of my friends. I met up with her, and we went outside because we were, like, looking for something to eat around there. I'm like, huh, you know, they had, like, them little line bicycles outside the convention. So we put in our credit card to ride those. Not the scooters. They had, like, the actual bikes. We actually got on the bikes instead. We should have got on the scooters. I'm saying, one minute. I clicked the...
Apparently, Tony from TikTok, he was zooming by people on that. But sorry, I just thought it was funny. My friend said he almost got hit by Tony. He said, hey, what's up? And then, boom, zoomed around him. Continue your story.
No, I was going to say, I started pedaling, and I underestimated how fast it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like a regular pace bike, not knowing it was electric and how fast it went. Me and her had trouble riding that motorcycle, and then we were everywhere. We didn't even know where the heck we were going, and we just stopped. Because, you know, eventually what
it does is,
We would just zoom in. We didn't want to run into people. We didn't want to run into the street. Nothing like that. And, you know, it was eating up the credit card. So I'm like, nah, let's go somewhere else. So we got off the bicycles, and we eventually walked and stopped off at this one place. But I don't know. It was just very fun. We were just laughing and having a good time on those bicycles.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people were having fun with them little boom bicycles and the little lime scooters.
Yeah,
people were fucking whipping it on them bitches.
I wanted to, like, really, like, drive, but, like, there were so many people at DreamCon. I wasn't able to drive the Bakugan Supply the way I wanted to, because, like, it was just packed in the streets. I just wanted to, like, just zoom on those zooms, but I was not able to, unfortunately. Maybe next year.
Yeah, because there's hella bodies around. There wasn't really room to be zooming around. Like, people were riding them bitches dirty.
They were.
Alright, so taking your overall experience in mind, would you either recommend DreamCon to someone else or go again yourself? Or
go again myself. Influencing?
I was gonna say, are we being influencing people?
Recommend, I'm going myself.
Yeah.
I mean, stingy with my DreamCon ticket. I'm sorry. I got experience 3 years in a row.
She said I'm gatekeeping.
I'm gatekeeping my ticket, y'all.
I got what's the quote? I got to do for myself, or I got a Myung referencing?
I'm trying to figure out.
I got
it's me, not you. No. It's I'm trying to get the same.
I gotta do it for myself. I gotta me. Do it for myself.
You gotta do it for me, something like that.
What is it? I'm blanking on what the exact quote is, but it's like, I gotta look out for myself. Something like that. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I would definitely go again. If the money worked out like that. And the tickets, because who knows what they'd be doing with them tickets next year. It was already a little bondu trying to get things this year.
Yeah, and like, I was broke at DreamCon. I'm over here because, you know, I spend money, you know, saving up for DreamCon, buying clothes and stuff like that. I'm over here having to calculate my spendings at DreamCon, make sure, because my wallet was struggling. I'm not gonna hold you.
Yeah, you gotta, yeah, really think, do I really need this?
Really hungry?
Can I hold off for a little bit? Is my stomach really touching my back? Bro. And I kept walking around the exhibit hall. There are so many things I would have wanted to buy, but I was like, you know what? Keep control.
Yes, same. There's so many things I wanted to buy. And I couldn't, because I didn't have no money.
Like, there's, I think I'm, when I get the bread up, I'm going to get this book. But, like, there's these people there. Shout out, I think it's called Hidden Script. Shout out them people. They have, like, a really dope book with, like, the book had like a really cool illustration of like these lands. Apparently it's like four friends like going on an adventure and like eventually becoming like rulers. So that sounds interesting. I wanted to buy that, but like it was like $50. I was like, bro, if I get this, this is probably gonna be the only thing I buy merch wise. But like I'm gonna definitely check them out. There's a lot of cool people there. That's the only thing about cons that I like but sort of don't like. Like, damn, why the merch gotta be so cool? Like, I don't wanna break the bank in here.
Mm-hmm. Like, DreamCon was taking up all my money.
God damn it. Sorry, my music started playing. Sorry.
You good?
It's not an Emerald Expressions podcast without a couple of techno difficulties, unfortunately.
Between that and being a streamer, always being on mute and the technical difficulties right before a stream, you gotta love it, right?
Meg, it was nice having you on. I appreciate you joining me. I appreciate you rocking with me.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, should I mention this? But I definitely want to have you on for at least one more topic. But you're always welcome if you ever see anything interesting, if I think there's something you might be interested, I'll definitely give you a holler. But I appreciate you coming on. It was nice again to have this time to chat and get to know each other a little bit better.
Yeah, this was a fun experience, you know, doing a DreamCon recap. I honestly thought you were going to, like, maybe talk more about, like, the type of video games I like to play, but I like this one, too.
We can always talk about that too, but I was just trying to get the DreamCon stuff out the way, because mm-hmm. while you still have some sort of recency in your mind, but we can always talk about other topics as well. Is there anything else you want to say before we go?
Yes, I would like for everyone to follow Emerald Impressions.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
What platform?
I'm on a bunch of stuff. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, whole bunch of places. But definitely shout out your YouTube and your YouTube again.
My YouTube is Make by Megan. We are almost at 1,000 subs. I stream on there 3 times a week. I try to get 3 uploads a week on there as well. If you guys can give me a follow, that would mean a lot to me.
And just to spell it out so they know, it's MEGABYTEMEGAN. So, Megabyte Megan.
That's correct.
Definitely check out her YouTube channel. Give her a follow. Watch her videos. I was watching her compilations from earlier. It was pretty fun. But again, thank you, Meg. I appreciate you coming on.
Again, thank you so much for having me. I look forward to being on another podcast of yours.
Definitely, you're definitely welcome. I'm gonna stop the recording. Appreciate you.